We have a special treat for you today. We have a luminary, a Silverlight luminary.
Luminous. I like luminous. Yes.
Well,
yes.
You know.
All those x-rays from when I was a kid.
Yeah. So, we have Jesse Liberty with us here in the studio. And we're excited to talk to you just for a bunch of reasons. One, you're a big Silverlight geek, right? That's the name of your blog.
Yes.
Just to plug that real quick. But you do a lot of Silverlight work, and you're just an interesting guy, and you were on campus, so we dragged you into the studio, and...
You have truly set me up. Now I have to be interesting. I can do.
Yes.
Interesting, I don't know. But thank you, and I'm really excited to be here, and very, very pleased.
Great. So, like I said, you have an interesting background. You work for Microsoft now.
Yes.
How did you get here?
I think it was American Airlines.
Okay.
The quick story is I had worked for a number of different companies for a while, and then I was independent for about 15 years and having a blast. And a guy named Joe Stagner, who is now on my team, a couple years ago adopted me for reasons unknown. It may have been part of the Justice Department settlement. I really don't know. And helped me become an MVP, which was wonderful. And really, he took good care of me. It was like Marlon Brando and Rod Steiger. You know, it was like, taking care of me. And one day he called me up, and this was in 2007. And he said, we're having a conference in March, and it's called Mix. And I said, what is that? And he said, it's designers and developers. And I said, why? Okay.
Sure.
And he said, we'd like you to come, and I'd like you to be on a panel on open source. And I said, come on, Joe, I don't know anything about open source. And he said, well, then that's perfect. And we'll fly you out, and you'll be in. It'll be great.
Okay.
And so first of all, the panel was a blast. And I got to say that the open source community could not have been more welcoming, and actually really tweaked my interest in open source and in many things. But Joe's hidden agenda was that he wanted me to see the keynote in which Silverlight was introduced.
Right.
And it blew my socks off in many, many ways, and not least of which was seeing Scott Guthrie's presentation, but Silverlight itself just knocked me out. And one of the things that really, really keyed my interest was I didn't, and I still don't really understand the complete limits of Silverlight. You know, I don't really know where Silverlight is constrained, ultimately. And I remember walking out of that and walking up to another author and saying, I need to do a reality check with you. And he said, you want to know if the whole world just changed? And I said, right. And he said, I think so. And 24 hours later, I had created Silverlight Consulting LLC with a buddy, Alex Horowitz, who is a former Next and Apple employee. I thought that was a great combination, given Silverlight being cross-platform. And that was what I was going to do. I had done this kind of change a few times. In 2000, I saw C Sharp, and I said, not another line of C++.
Right.
And in 1992, I was hired into Windows and Mac cross-platform in C++, and I said, not another line of C, and I thought this was the next thing, and this is what I was going to do. And Joe called me up and said, listen, before you do that, instead of writing and consulting about C++ from the outside looking in, come down or up or across to Bellevue and talk to us about doing it from the inside looking out. Writing about Silverlight and dealing with Silverlight and learning about Silverlight. And I politely said, no way. As I like to say, there were actually three words in that sentence.
Okay.
And but Joe was very convincing, and they flew me out here. And I met some just truly amazing people. And one thing that I must say right away is that I walked in with the, I think, not uncommon assumption that I would hear a lot about crushing this product and destroying that. I didn't hear any of that. You know, what I heard was about what they wanted to do and what the vision was and how it fit in with .NET. And, and it was very exciting stuff. And I was talking to a collection of some incredibly bright people. And they really were interested in what do you have to offer and how can we craft something that really plays to what you're interested in and what you're good at and so on. And then they, in the immortal words of Marlon Brando, made me an offer I couldn't refuse. Uh-huh. And then they let me pick my own title, which was Silver Light Geek, and they said I could work from home. I mean, you know, how much do you need?
It was just
it was too good.
Yeah.
And in fact, it's gotten better because the job for a while, I got to talk to a lot of developers, and that was great, and I got to produce a lot of things, but I was really in the what am I about and what am I doing phase.
Right.
And there were parts of it that I was fighting. Mm-hmm. The evangelist piece of it I was fighting.
Okay.
I met a fellow, Josh Holmes, who's an evangelist in the Midwest, and he really turned me around. He, you, and Lawrence, and I'm forgetting someone, and they won't forgive me on your team. A few folks who really had the perspective that evangelism is not about selling, but it's about enthusiasm about a technology.
Right.
And so I was able to more embrace that piece of it.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently, I went to management and I said, you know, I love every aspect of this, but I'm not building products. I'm not building start to finish. And we determined a way to do that that would be well integrated into what I do, that would be beneficial to the developers and increase their satisfaction with Silverlight and increase and further my goal of helping folks understand how Silverlight fits in. So rambling on and finishing up, the job went from truly great to ecstatic.
Okay.
And I didn't get laid off. So, all in all, it's been a blast.
That's great. That might be good to go into little details. You talked about your Silverlight Geek. That's still your title?
That's still the title.
And what are you doing for developers?
Got to say, before we do that, Silverlight Geek is one of those great titles because people who are my target audience, right, working developers who want to work with Silverlight, uniformly may be too strong, but so far, really like the title.
Right.
And they come up and they say, you know, that title is just great because I get immediately what you do.
Right.
And everybody else hates it, including my wife.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
dopiest
sure.
title I've ever heard. But for the folks who I want to talk to, right, that's too strong. For the folks who I'm targeting, for the folks who are working with Silverlight and looking to Microsoft to provide high-quality information telling the story of Silverlight without hype, they see Silverlight Geek, and it immediately resonates that this is not sales, this is not marketing, this is a guy who lives and breathes Silverlight and maybe can help me understand how it fits in with what I'm doing or help me solve my problem. And so, you know, that's worked out well. Now, I'm sorry, your real question was, what are the projects and what am I working on?
How are you helping out those developers specifically, I guess?
Well, there are a number of aspects of my job, and they vary from from period to period of who gets what percentage of my time. I do get to go to conferences and sometimes some of the bigger conferences, but the truth is that what I really like is going to regional conferences and to user groups, because those folks are typically looking for very direct, almost instructional information on, you know, how do I use this and how can I be productive, as opposed to a larger overview. And it's a smaller group, and it's typically I can make a more intimate contact with folks. But I do get to go to the larger groups. And again, as much as I like presenting to the larger group, what I really like is the hallway contact and the other places and all of that, where we get to really have that back and forth. And people get to come up and say, you know, I don't get it, or I don't see how I'm going to use this, or, you know, what's this about? And also I get to see some of the exciting things that people are doing with Silverlight. So that's one piece of what I do. I create How Do I videos, where I take a skill or something new in Silverlight. Silverlight 3 is now in beta, and we're heading an incredible pace towards yes. RTW, which we're promising for this summer right. of 2009, depending on when you're watching this video. yeah. And Silverlight 3 is a remarkable step forward from Silverlight 2. There's quite a bit in it. So mm-hmm. I'll take a piece of that and create an example that hopefully is the right balance between meaningful, targeted at something that you can easily see the mapping between this simplified demo and something you might want to do in your real application, but stripped okay. of all the bulletproofing and so that you know you can get at the meat of it.
Yeah.
And then I'll walk through it. And I'm a believer in post-production, so yes. I add call-outs and highlighting and make sure that when I'm talking through what I'm doing, there's no confusion about what I'm up to and what I'm doing. And one of my favorite little sayings is write like you won't be in the room when the person's reading it because you
Definitely.
Won't.
Right.
And,
that's right.
And
yeah.
so I'm a believer in that. So one thing I do is videos. Another thing that I do is tutorials. And there are a number of tutorials on Silverlight.net/learn. Mm-hmm. But what they tend to run about in Word, probably 20, 25 pages. And what I'm finding, although we're going to continue to do one a month, is mm-hmm. that that's a lot to absorb. So I looked at the fact that I wanted to increase the quality of my blog entries and the substance of my blog entries. So about 4 to 6 months ago, I changed the subtitle of my blog to mm-hmm. More Signal, Less Noise. And I started to create what I began to call mini tutorials, mm-hmm. where I would take a smaller subject and really tackle it in the blog itself. Mm-hmm. We've now formalized that. I actually created a little tiny little logo that says a mini tutorial. Actually, it says a Silverlight Geek mini tutorial.
There you go.
And there are about 25 of them so far. And I've just gotten permission to do about two or three a week.
Okay.
And in fact, we're going to, over the next couple of weeks, we're going to put them onto the Learn page as an index so people can find them and keep them up to date. And when Silverlight 3 RTM comes out, that's sort of an internal term for when it goes, I think it's called release to manufacturing, which is
RTW,
release
to
web.
Yes.
When we release the final product, yes. if there's any changes from the beta, I will go through and refresh them and make sure that they're fully up to speed. So that's a big chunk of a project.
Right.
And then if you'll let me go on for one more minute.
Sure.
I added a couple innovations to the blog that I'm very excited about. So if I have a multi-part series, I added next and previous to the bottom of them so you can thread your way through, which allows the blog to serve either sequentially or by tag or by threading.
Mm-hmm.
But I also added a project that has been a little slow getting started but is mm-hmm. about to get a big boost of a open project mm-hmm. from design to delivery.
Okay.
Now, there's a discussion going on which will be well resolved by the time anybody sees this,
sure.
as to whether this is going to be draw up a chair and watch as I design and develop this mm-hmm. all the way through, let's do an open source project together.
Okay.
And that is, to be perfectly blunt, not yet fully decided, although I have a sense of where we're going.
Uh-huh.
As soon as that's clear, I will make that well known, and mm-hmm. I'm very excited not only about doing that project, but to be slightly mysterious, I'm very excited about the end product of that because it's going to be an extremely useful product when we're done.
Okay.
But it's the process I'm focusing on right now.
Right. Okay.
And then the final bit of all of this is on a smaller note. The brain just went totally blank. I sure hope you can edit this.
Sure.
Forgive me. Forgive me as I sit here and just act like a complete moron. We'll come back to it. There is one other piece that we just added. Oh, yes, I'm sorry. In the blog, you can piece this together, right?
Sure.
Or leave it in. I don't
Let's
care.
Let's start over. In the blog.
Yes, in the blog, the other little piece that I just added is I've been looking for a balance to keep that signal high, but mm-hmm. to find a place to put bits, little bits that come up that are either little opinion bits or kind of interesting things that come along that are too big for Twitter and too small for the blog.
Yes.
And so I just added Quick Bits.
Okay.
And on the side, there's a little link that says Quick Bits, and that takes you to a page, and there'll be one page per month, mm-hmm. and I'll preserve them so you can go look at the previous month. And they're just one above the other of these little quick bits. And,
okay.
you know, sometimes they'll link out to another page, but mostly they're just, you know, chronological quick bits that I can throw in thoughts that are just a little too big for Twitter.
Okay.
And finally, the last bit is that I've dramatically increased my use of Twitter.
Okay.
And again, not just to promote the blog or the videos, but to add, hopefully, mostly useful information mm-hmm. That I come across. And I tend to tweet in bursts.
Yeah.
But actually, Twitter's a really interesting thing because the number of followers has just really taken off mm-hmm. as we build more of a community.
Sure.
So that was a really long answer to your simple question.
I guess what that tells me is that you seem very, very busy.
It doesn't feel busy. It feels like the days are way too short.
Yes,
that's what
I
it feels
that,
like.
That's for sure.
But it's great.
So you're really busy, and a lot of this is in preparation for Silverlight 3 release. We can just say the easy way, the
mm-hmm.
release. What's in Silverlight 3 that has you the most interested, the tutorials that you're most excited to write?
Well, you know, if you had asked me a week ago, mm-hmm. I would have talked to you about a number of the features in Silverlight 3, and I will. There are some amazing and exciting features in Silverlight 3, and some of them are relatively small features that have big impact on the extensibility and maintainability, and we should definitely talk about
mm-hmm.
that. But one of the things that has changed over the past week is that I have come to a different perspective on expression.
Okay.
With regard to Silverlight 3, I had
an expression blend.
An expression
right.
blend, yes.
Okay.
I'm sorry. During Silverlight 2, I had done a series on expression blend for programmers.
Mm-hmm.
But I had always had the perspective that it was something of an interim solution. I have really changed my perspective on that. And
mm-hmm.
I believe and I'm probably will be advocating that while you definitely can program in Visual Studio, yes, when Visual Studio 10 hits, you know,
mm-hmm.
it will be possible to program in Visual Studio. That is suboptimal.
Mm-hmm.
That, in fact, the optimal solution for developers at any level, individual developers, small groups, large groups,
mm-hmm.
will be a dual tool solution. And while mm-hmm. many folks will bristle, because I would have bristled initially
yes.
at that concept, the benefits are so powerful
uh-huh.
that, in fact, when you ask me what am I excited about in Silverlight 3, really what I'm beginning to hear and respond to is, what are you excited about in Silverlight 3 with Blend 3?
Uh-huh.
And so that's an interesting change.
It is.
Let me tell you a little bit about a couple things in Silverlight 3 per se.
Okay.
There are specific features, and then there is the underlying theme
right.
of how Silverlight 3 features are building on existing technologies to create new technologies
mm-hmm.
that I find very exciting, both because it's just inherently interesting, but also because it so dramatically reduces the learning curve and so dramatically promises for the future.
Mm-hmm.
So my canonical example of that is the ability to have data validation.
Mm-hmm.
In Silverlight 3, you can ask the binding mechanism to provide data validation. And what you say is, here's an input. And then you say, go please look at the object I'm bound to
mm-hmm.
and ask it, is this input valid? So I created the demo that says, I'm inputting an ISBN.
Mm-hmm.
Is it valid? And my book object says, no, sorry, it's supposed to be 10 digits, you've only put in 4.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've put in 10 digits, but you put in the letter C, no ISBNs have a letter C.
Right.
Okay, you've put in the right number, and they're 0 through 9, and the letter X, which is what's permitted, but your checksum digit doesn't actually do a checksum, and there's
mm-hmm.
an algorithm for that, which you can look up on Wikipedia, and yours is invalid. Yes, it's valid.
Okay.
All of that is very cool and very incredibly easy to do. In fact, the text box has it you know, right out of the box. It'll it'll work automatically.
Right.
What I find even more cool than the fact that that's there, and that is obviously extremely useful, is that the way that that's accomplished is by combining two things that were already there in Silverlight 2.
Mm-hmm.
One is the ability to turn exceptions into events that go back to the that look at the underlying data object and then throw an exception that go back to the binding object and then can come back to your program. That existed in Silverlight 2. In fact,
mm-hmm.
when I was looking up how this works, I found an article, incredibly well-written article,
yes.
that I had written about Silverlight 2,
yes.
right? But there was no support for what to do with that, so you had mm-hmm. to write your own UI. Well, now what they've done is they took another technology that existed, which is the Visual State Manager,
mm-hmm.
and in the standard states, which used to have things like mouse over, it still does, mouse over and mouse pressed and so on, and mm-hmm. had has focus and doesn't have focus, we now have three validation states. Is valid, is not valid and has the focus, is not valid and doesn't have the focus.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get that information back, you're in one of those, you're going to be put in one of those three states. Either it's valid or it's not valid and has the focus, or it's not valid and it doesn't have the focus, and you can respond however you choose. You can
mm-hmm.
put a rectangle, red rectangle, you can put up a message, you can do whatever you want.
Sure.
But rather than imposing on you the responsibility of building all that from scratch,
mm-hmm.
it's born, most of the input controls are born with a initial validation response.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you can override that, but how do you override that? In exactly the same way you override any control by templating.
Mm-hmm.
And you use exactly the same mechanism, and Blend gives full support for that. And what's,
right.
to me, what's brilliant here is that you're using the same mechanism that you use all along for building the look and feel and for changing the look and feel. You're just combining that to make your data validation work. And that means that the learning curve for anybody who's done templating is virtually zero.
Right.
And it means that you can now see that the people who are building these controls can continue to extend them and add more features and more abilities over time because they're mm-hmm. building on a framework that is extensible and flexible.
Right.
So that's kind of neat.
That is wonderfully geeky. Thank
yeah,
you.
Sorry.
Living up to your name. No, but it is. It's really neat.
And that's just one feature.
Right. Yeah,
I can go through a whole bunch of more if
right.
you like, but because there are a lot.
Yeah. But this is the type of stuff that you'll be covering on your
absolutely.
Blog.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
So the majority, or almost all your content, is on Silverlight.net, right? The Learn section?
Yes. What I tend to say, really, at user groups and almost everywhere I go, is that if you remember nothing else of what I said, what you want to remember is the website, http://silverlight.net, because there we have access to everything. We have, under Get Started, you can download everything you need for programming Silverlight.
Mm-hmm.
Under Learn, we have our videos and tutorials and so forth. Under Showcase, you'll find applications and inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Under the community, you'll find community blogs. You'll also find the blogs from Lawrence Moroni, who's terrific and an author of Silverlight books,
mm-hmm.
and Tim Huer, who is on my team, who has a tremendous, great blog. You'll
yes.
find my blog, other blogs, great information there. And under the forums, you can post questions,
yes.
and they are not only answered by community and other very experienced programmers, but also by the developers of Silverlight.
Right.
So
yeah.
it's a tremendous resource.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's awesome. Silverlight.net. We have to remember that. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much.
This was awesome.
This was a blast.